It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoor Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And during this holiday season, thank you so much for joining me. Hope you had a great Christmas on Friday as we now move into the week when the world certainly slows down in years past. Christmas to New Year is a time when a lot of people around the world are on vacation. And of course, this year with COVID, it's been it's even more so. The show that I traditionally have done between Christmas and New Year's in the heart of the holiday season is to sort of reflect on some big wins in conservation in the preceding year. But before I do that, and I am going to do that, I came across a piece about dogs, hunting dogs in particular, that I thought was so well done that I wanted to share it with you. And any of you listening who've owned a dog of any kind will be able to relate to it. And if you've owned a dog, a hunting dog, you'll even be more so able to relate to it. And as we end this year of confusion and just a year that we certainly never want to relive, one of the things we're finding is that a lot of people are buying dogs. The pet business has boomed, and the hunting dog business has boomed, as hunting license sales in America appear to be up around 15% across the continent when it's all said and done this year, which is a wonderful increase in the number of people hunting, some states more than others, but it's pretty broad-based. And the states that have been growing the fastest also had the most number of new hunters or people returning to the field. So the story about dogs applies really, I think, to everybody. We've all been around dogs. And when I read it, I actually teared up because I've had labs since my earliest memory. My family always has had labs. My earliest memory was a black lab named Tar, then followed by Chamois and Waffles. And I won't name all the dogs that I've had through the decades. The one thing we know is they are never with us long enough. So whether you have a hunting dog that's looking at you right now, had a hunting dog that this will make you think about, or have a companion in the house that the only thing you can hunt for is your socks, so that you never have a pair together, this is for you. It's written by Peter Vergasis, who is with Gun Dog Magazine. It's entitled Rules for Owning a Hunting Dog. And I thought as we end this year and start a new one, this would be a great way for all of us who own dogs to look at our dogs, and for those of us who plan on buying a dog to think about a new dog. Spend time with them each day. You are their everything. Don't hide your excitement. Let them see the kid in you. Your expectations of a bird dog are high, but their expectations of an owner are even higher. Don't sleep on it. Take them to the vet. Go hunting with them at least one time, just the two of you. Tell your friends about your old dogs. Their falses aren't the only ones in the field. Judge your hunting friends by how they treat their dogs. Always stop to pet them. Stop walking. Sit down. You will see how much they love you. Enjoy it. Treat puppies like puppies and treat your 12-year-old like he still is one. Know when to retire them and give them everything they want. They gave you everything they had. Have patience when they are hard of hearing. It's the bird's fault. Show your boys that there is reason to be gentle in this world. Bird dogs are just one of them. You helped her down the stairs when she was young. Now help her up them when she is old. Take the picture every single darn time. It's worth it. Enjoy the determination, even when it's not after a bird. When it's time to say goodbye, don't leave his side. Hold him. He knows what's happening, and he's happy you are with him. Remember them. Visit the places that made you both so happy. Think about her while you stop walking and sit down with her daughter on a golden October afternoon. And finally, understand that you cannot fill the hole they left in your heart, but remember them, and they will be with you every step of the way. Even reading that, as I have now, several times. It just makes me well up with the emotion of what it's been like to love dogs, to have great hunting dogs. And I've had great house dogs too, but it's the hunting dogs that you make memories with. They go into a thicket and put out a grouse or a pheasant. They'll swim halfway across the Illinois River to get a duck for you. They're always there for us. And that's why dogs are a person's best friend. A man's best friend, a woman's best friend, a child's best friend. And so during this week between Christmas and New Year's, your friend is probably lying there, hunting season over, unless you're in the South, or just winding down. It's had a full work out this fall. And I just wonder how many of us really understand, if we sit back and take a moment to think about the memories we've created with our dogs. It really is something. It's why I hunt, in part, in large part. And I know it's why so many of you hunt, in large part. We all know that we can shoot a duck or a pheasant or a goose or whatever it might be, quail. Well, sometimes quail aren't that easy to hit. But we all know we can do it. But it's watching our lab or our springer or our cocker spaniel or our pointer or our setter, whatever it might be, doing what they've been bred for hundreds of years, in some cases even longer, to do. They are our best friend. And hopefully with all the individuals that are going hunting for the first time as a result of COVID, they too will learn the experience of what it is to have a great dog, a companion throughout the year. And as I said a moment ago, they never live long enough. We need to enjoy them always. Dogs have made hunting what it is, and dogs have made households what it is, what they are. So I hope you didn't mind my reading that. I found it profound. I found it wonderful. And I wanted to share it with you. When I come back in just a moment, I'm going to talk about some of the big conservation wins in 2020. There have been a lot, and we have a lot to look forward to. Thanks for being with me on this holiday week. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And now a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
In the field, hunters need to be alert, sense the environment around them and know exactly where they are, communicate seamlessly with their dogs. And when it comes to pickup trucks, you want the same qualities. The all-new Chevy Silverado comes with an available 4G Wi-Fi hotspot for seamless communication. It's designed to handle the toughest loads with advanced trailering technology, tough on the road and off. And the all-new design gives you more cargo space than the competition. Chevy Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup on the road. Plus, there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer about the Big Fix lease. It's an amazing lease deal that can lower your monthly payments and give you more Chevy, all for less money. That's a treasure hunt. So head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and see why Chevy is the number one best-selling brand in Chicagoland, now 8 years running.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, and thank you for joining me during this holiday week. Hope you're enjoying the show. And if you're just tuning in, we're going to talk about some of the really great things that happened in 2020, if you look in the rearview mirror, in conservation, that is. Because certainly in the world, 2020 will be a year that we want to leave behind. But in an odd way, 2020 became the year that will redefine conservation and conservation funding in America for a long time. It was a hugely successful year for conservation. Sure, there were some things that didn't go well, but by and large, this has to be chalked up as a year that will be hard to equal. And I think back, and while I was certainly not involved at the time, I think back to the last time a Congress and president delivered such a string of successes for conservation. And you have to go back to the Nixon administration, the Clean Water Act, Environmental Protection Agency Act being created, new cabinet positions for the environment. President Nixon, it's been written frequently, didn't hunt, didn't fish. He really didn't even do anything outdoors other than play golf. But he knew it was good politics to be engaged in the issue that was redefining how Americans thought about their environment. So we had a president, 1968 to 72, when most of this work was done, that changed the landscape for conservation. This time around, we had a president who also didn't hunt, didn't fish, loved to play golf, but that's not the outdoors in the context that we think about it. And yet he knew it too was good politics to care about the reauthorization of some very, very important, longstanding funding mechanisms, such as the Land and Water Conservation Fund, but also that he knew it would be something that, in his case, played to the interests of his supporters, particularly those who hunted and fished. So 2020 was a year that, as we look back on, and we look back on it decades from now, was every bit as important as 1970. The politics were much the same. A Congress divided, a president who didn't really care about these issues, but knew that it was good politics. So when we look at what happened this year, there were some huge wins. The first, of course, was the Land and Water Conservation Fund, $900 million a year that is going to be now spent for advancing outdoor recreation in America. You just can't even imagine what that's going to mean. Congress has been funding it at a level of $200 to $250 million a year for a long time and writing IOUs, as I frequently talk about, to the tune of billions of dollars now that'll never get repaid. This bill, the Great America's Outdoors Act, makes it so they're going to have to fund it at $900 million annually. Plus, the amazing thing is that there will be a $9.5 billion investment over the next 5 years to chip away at the deferred maintenance backlog on public lands. So not only $900 million annually for the Land and Water Conservation Fund, but $9.5 billion for deferred maintenance on public lands. That's just huge. Also, we passed America's Conservation Enhancement Act, otherwise known as the ACE Act. I love the acronyms that Congress comes up with. And this does for habitat in the Great Lakes and Chesapeake Bay what's never been done before. It is going to expand access and outdoor recreation opportunity by securing and reinvigorating conservation programs and funding sources aimed at the Great Lakes and the Chesapeake Bay. We also, late in the year, had the big win when the Army Corps of Engineers denied the developer's permit for the Pebble Mine. We've talked a lot about that. Sometimes it's not legislation that's a big win. Sometimes it's stopping bad things. We also saw a win in that Congress authorized funding that will enable the Department of Interior to update its mapping of public lands and access. And we'll have much more on this in the coming year. But with technology that exists now and is coming, the public is going to be able to access all kinds of areas that it couldn't before because we didn't have the mapping for how to get there. So that's a huge win long term. We also celebrated, if you will, the 10-year milestone from the Deepwater Horizon oil spill, which was with the worst environmental disaster in American history. Billions of dollars have been spent to clean up the Gulf. Huge penalties were paid by British Petroleum that have been used to improve habitat, not only in the Gulf, but throughout the migratory corridors. 10 years later, we are seeing burgeoning game fish populations in the Gulf. We are seeing a total focus on restoring the Gulf and its vanishing wetlands. So 10 years later, could we have envisioned that we would actually see the kind of progress we've seen in the pulling together to save the Gulf of Mexico and the Gulf Coast? Deepwater Horizon was the disaster that caused the focus. And 10 years later, we're seeing the benefits of what happens when you pull together. And maybe last one, which is never talked about, but I think is actually one of the biggest wins ever. In August, the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission voted unanimously to change its management strategy for Atlantic Manhattan. And for those of us living in the Midwest, we say, what are Manhattan? Manhattan are like the alewife for the Great Lakes. They are the tiny bait fish that supports most of the sport fish on the Atlantic seaboard. Striped bass, bluefish, tuna, they're the bottom of the ecosystem, if you will. They're the bottom of the food chain. They're a tiny little fish. But they've been just netted by commercial fishing interests to the point where they almost don't exist. And the huge bunkers, as they were called, enormous swarms of these fish have been made into cat food and all kinds of other products that and fish oils for cosmetics. The result was we were emptying out the most critical part of the food chain, the beginning of the food chain, and sport fish and bigger fish need that to survive. So it got very little attention, but I think it's critically important that we now are paying attention to these kind of ecosystems, because it's not the big shark at the top. It's all the little fish that swim underneath that drive the populations working up the food chain. So 2020, for all the terrible things that happened with COVID, was a miraculous year for conservation. Let's look forward to 2021, and we'll do so next week when we ring in the new year. Thank you so much for being with me this past year. This marks the conclusion of my 20th year on WGN Radio and the Great Outdoors Show. It's been an honor and a privilege. I look forward to seeing you in 2021 and talking to you throughout the year on the issues that are most important to conservation. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. Have a great holiday season. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.